Ready? Okay. What I have a thing that says okay.
Oh, it's probably acknowledging the recording.
Okay, because I have a new computer. All right. I would like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is February 2nd, 2024. The time is 7:32 a.m. The purpose of the meeting is to substantially review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. So, roll call, please.
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Catarino?
Present.
Dr. Flint?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Madam Chair, may I just make a just for the minutes, two of these applicants are from Midwestern University. However, I don't see any conflicts in reviewing those cases, but I did want to disclose that.
Oh, thank you. Okay, we'll move to item three, discussion and consideration of possible action on psychology application. So our first group are those requesting approval to sit for the EPPP only. First name is Chanel, Dr. Chanel Jasso. I'll take that, and then Dr. Flynn, if you take the next one. So Dr. Chanel Jasso has a doctorate in clinical psychology from Northern Arizona University. She has an internship at Ohio, which is an APA approved program, a postdoc in Virginia. She has two references and a self-query form. She's halfway through her postdoc, and she seems to have everything in order from me, unless you have a concern, Dr. Flynn.
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. If you would like to take Dr. Sierra's study, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Study graduated from Midwestern University, which is an APA accredited with her a program with her doctorate in clinical psychology. She has completed an internship with Southwest Behavioral Health Services with all the required documentation. She also submitted two references and her self-query. I was not able to see any issues on my end, unless, Madam Chair, you picked up on anything else.
No, thank you. No, I see no problem. I guess I should note that Simply Psychology is where she's doing her postdoc. It is the owner is a former student of mine, but that was many years ago. So, okay, the next. So, I see no issues there. The next person is, if I get this correct, Dr. Mukul Khandelwal, and this person has a PsyD from Xavier University in Cincinnati, and it is an accredited program. The internship and postdoc were at the VA in the Pacific Islands Healthcare. I see two references, a self-serve form, and no concerns at this point. Do you have any?
I agree with you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Then we would like to make a, I'd like to make the motion that we approve the Dr. Jasso, Dr. Study, and Dr. Khandelwal to sit for the EPPP.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Do we take a vote? Dr. Flint? Yes, sir.
Agree. Yay.
And Dr. Marino, yay. I approve. Okay, now we're moving on to B, requesting approval to sit for EPPP and licensure. And the applicants here are Dr. Rebecca Johnson's ID. Now she had a temporary licensed psych associate in Kentucky, but it did expire in June 22. She has a doctorate from Spalding University, which in Kentucky, which is accredited. She has an internship at the Bureau of Prisons, and that she in adding her internship hours, and her pre-internship hours, she does have the required number. She has two references and a self-query form. I didn't see any concerns.
I agree, Madam Chair.
About you? Okay. Maybe I would like to take the second one here. So Dr. Rosalba Mata, is she present?
Yes, good morning.
I don't see her. Dr. Bada?
Yes, good morning.
Present.
Yeah, you are.
Thank you. Would you like to tell, I'll have you tell us your background, where you obtained your degree and your internship and et cetera.
Yes, thank you. I actually obtained my PhD from Walden University. And I did my internship here in Tucson with Counseling and Consulting Services. It's kind of an interesting internship because I was actually there for over 5 years and had the opportunity to work with a lot of different types of individuals in that agency.
Okay, I see you also have two references and the self-query form. We notice, and you're, you know, even though Walden is not at this time accredited, your record and your course listings have been approved in the past, because this is your fifth attempt. And the reason why we asked you to come was we didn't see any differences in your study plan between the fourth and fifth. And so now I see that you sent an updated study plan, which to me looks more detailed and looks like a good plan. Dr. Flint, do you have any questions on the study plan?
Actually, I just had a couple of suggestions, Madam Chair, if I may. Dr. Mata, thank you for being here. I commiserate with this needing to do the test again. It's difficult to try and figure out kind of what the magic is for you to kind of do this. And I believe that you can. I want to suggest a couple of things. There is a very real, when you just review the material and kind of keep reviewing it and reviewing it, something's missing in this puzzle for you. And I wonder if some of that might be, you know, is there test anxiety? Is there test taking strategies? Things like that, that really can help you be very successful, hopefully at the next round. So I'm going to make a couple suggestions, and you may look into them or not at your leisure. ASPA put together a video series with a Dr. Strassenhofer, who originally was giving test strategies for the ETPP2. However, there are many strategies in that for the part one as well. And sometimes just learning how to take the test is the most important piece, and the content will then, you'll be able to access it and be more successful. He also, and I have no, you know, connection with him at all, other than I've seen his work. He also does individual tutoring, and I haven't seen anybody else that really has done that. So if that's of any help at all. And the materials are a bit different, and I noticed you've used ATABS. And I wonder if there are peers that you study with that might have a different type of material that might just explain it a tad bit differently. Those are just two suggestions I had for you, Dr. Mata, and I truly wish you the best of luck as you continue this journey.
Thank you. I appreciate the feedback, and I will definitely look into this individual and the videos. And actually, I have like three different sets of materials now. Just for me, it's been a struggle to just figure out how to choose the best answers. And unfortunately, I don't think it's a true reflection upon the work that I do in the community, but, you know, it's part of the licensure process. And so I think I know that I'll pass it. I think I've had a little bit more stress and because my position at the university is dependent on my passing this exam. And so I do feel like I probably took the last one a little hastily, but it was because I had to meet a deadline or lose my position. And so it was, you know, you have to try and balance that. So I'm hoping that this next time will be the last time that I'll be taking the exam, if given the opportunity.
Well, we certainly hope it is the last time. So, and thank you for coming. So I'd like to make a motion that we approve the candidates requesting approval for the EPPP and licensure. This would be Dr. Rebecca Johnson and Dr. Rosalba Mata. Do you second the motion?
I second the motion.
And we'll take a vote. I would say yes. And your vote?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks you for coming, Dr. Mata.
Thank you, Dr. Mata.
Okay. Now we're on to C, those requesting approval for licensure by waiver. And we do have one candidate. The first candidate, Dr. Akbar's name has been removed. Would you like to take Dr. Coderre, please?
Sure, absolutely. Dr. Coderre is a graduate of Midwestern University, APA accredited program. She has kind of a unique situation in that she passed the EPPP in 2013 in Michigan as part of her master's preparation. She has held three different types of licenses in Michigan, a master's limited psychology, an LPC, and a limited licensed counselor. All of those have lapsed with no actions as she was in programming here at Midwestern. She completed an APA internship with Long Beach VA. She, according to my calculations, even exceeded the amount of hours submitted, and it looks like the documentation is in order with two references and one self-query. I don't see any issues with her, Madam Chair.
No, neither do I. I guess, and also I should mention that the Pinnacle Group, that is owned also by another one of my former students, but again, I have not had any dealings with her in many years. So I see no issues with this either.
I agree, Madam Chair.
Our next person is Dr. Esteban Viruet Sanchez. And he did pass the EPPP Part 1. His training was at the Ponce Health Sciences University School of Medicine in Puerto Rico. It is an accredited program by APA. He did an APA internship and did a postdoc at Montefiore Hospital, which was right near where I lived. He has two references and a self-query form, I believe, and he is licensed in New York until June 26. So I don't see any issues either. I believe that we might have met him prior, I'm not sure, under a different category in the past. So I would see no issues unless you do.
No, I agree, Madam Chair.
Okay, would you take Dr. Matis?
Absolutely. Dr. Matis received his PhD from Wayne State University, an APA-accredited program. He is licensed in Indiana since February of 2023 with no actions noted. He had an APA internship at the Indiana University School of Medicine, also an APA accredited postdoc at the University of Michigan. He had my question, Madam Chair, on his is that it looks like, oh, sorry, excuse me, was that the manual that was submitted, I'm assuming in lieu of the training plan, which I now come to understand we can't do, is 4 years where this person wasn't at that training program. The manual states 2023 to 2025, and Dr. Mattis appeared to be there from 2021 to 2023. So I'm questioning if we're able to accept that the information in that manual as representative of their experience.
Yes, good question. Did Kathy, do you have any other input on this?
I do not. This was the document she submitted, so I forwarded it to the committee. It is up to the committee to determine if it meets the requirements in statute and rule.
Kathy, since she is licensed in Indiana, do we need that manual?
She applied for licensure by waiver, so that does require per ARS section 322071 subsection G, there is a requirement for a written training plan. in that statute. And then the rule R4-26-210C, I believe it is, or it might be D. No, it's D. Sorry. Subsection D lists like eight specific areas of content that a postdoc training plan is supposed to have. So it's up to the committee to determine if that handbook meets that criteria or not. If it does not, you can issue a FAIR letter.
Okay. Well, Dr. Flint, do you think we should go ahead and ask for more information to try to get the manual or training plan?
I do. The manual that was representative of the time she was there, which would be 21 to 23, and that written training plan. I would like to see both if possible.
Okay. So I think that this is requires a FAIR letter then.
Agreed. Okay.
So let's look at the part C then, requesting approval for licensure by waiver. So it appears that I'd like to make a motion that Dr. Coderre and Dr. Viruet Sanchez be approved, and that we send a FAIR letter to Dr. Matas. Any seconds to this motion?
Second that.
Okay, vote. I say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So now we move. So Kathy will help us with the letter. That would be the next step.
Yes.
Do you require that with the letters and the materials are approved, do you require that Dr. Matas be in attendance at the next meeting, or would that be sufficient?
Madam Chair, committee members, historically, it has been, if the committee has questions for the applicant, we request their presence. If you don't, then we don't make an issue of it. They're invited to attend, but it's not required. And just for Dr. Flint.
No, I wasn't going to, but I just see if Dr. Flint had a desire to have her present. We don't have to then.
Just for the record, and also just for Dr. Flint, because she's new, when the committee has issued a FAIR letter, what happens is that staff will write a draft of the FAIR letter based on what the committee said in the meeting, and then it gets forwarded to the committee chair for approval, and it's sent under the committee chair's signature once it's approved by her. It gets sent by email, so that I just wanted you to know the process and procedure.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I guess we're moving on now to Part D. Those applicants requesting approval for licensure by universal recognition. So I would look at Dr. Lauren Schwartz. Wait, if I can find it. Okay, Dr. Lauren Schwartz is licensed in the CyPEC States at Washington. She was graduated from the joint San Diego State UCSD program. She does have, it appears, a home in Cave Creek at a temporary driver's license. We didn't see, a mortgage or rental agreement, but there was a form for insurance of the home in Cave Creek. And I did see that it said any other documents that the committee would accept, not necessarily a true driver's license or rental agreement or mortgage. So I don't see any reason why you would insure the home, maybe unless you are living there. And there is an attempt for the temporary driver's license. So I would approve Dr. Schwartz, unless you have any questions.
No, the addresses between those two documents also coincided, so I'm comfortable with that as proof of residency.
I see that Dr. Schwartz is present. Would you have anything you would like to add, Dr. Schwartz?
Hi, thank you. Yes, no, you can hear me now. Yes. Yes, I do live in Cave Creek. I'm sitting there right now. I've been here since October. I've officially
moved. You need to go outside and take a picture of your home. No, it's okay.
That's right.
Welcome to Arizona, Dr. Schwartz.
Typical Seattle weather today, which is where I'm from.
Yeah, so I think, you know, it was your insurance was form was not listed as one of the possible, but there was also an other category. So I'm accepping the insurance of the home under that category.
Yeah. And I have the full driver's license now, too, or the real one, if you need a copy of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just for records. That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. Well, welcome to Arizona. And we're going to move on to our next candidate, Dr. Brad Shamus.
Thank you.
Dr. Flint?
Sure. Dr. Shamus received his degree from Temple University. He's been licensed in New Jersey and in Pennsylvania since both 1990, no action in either state. He provided residency documents and his self-query. I did not see any concerns with what I reviewed. Madam Chair, did you?
No, not sure if there were references and now at this point, do you notice? And if we need references?
Madam Chair, committee members, this is the universal recognition category, so references are not required.
Thank you. Now, is Dr. Vanessa Smith, under what category was she at a temporary license? Yes, I
think so. Yes, temporary license.
So at that point, I'll make a motion to approve the licensure by universal recognition for Dr. Lauren Schwartz and Dr. Brad Shamus. Any seconds?
Second.
Okay, and any vote? Aye.
Aye.
And your vote? Okay, so they are both approved. Do you have Dr. Smith prepared or I can do
it? I do. If you don't.
Go ahead. I do. Thank you.
Dr. Smith, I'm not sure if she is on, but just received her degree from Walden University in 2022. She was approved by our board to sit for the ECCC in June of 23 and was not successful at that attempt. So she's now applying for temporary supervised license with another try at the ECCC. She is a part of the Arizona Training Consortium through Access for Autism. There are two references included in her packet. There is a self-query with no concerns that I saw in that documentation. Madam Chair?
Well, I agree. She has over 3,000 hours, also to make a note of that. No, the references were added, and I now have no concerns. So I think we can make a motion to approve Dr. Vanessa Smith for a temporary license.
A second.
And the vote, I say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any other questions on any of the candidates? So, or are you comfortable, Dr. Flint?
I am very comfortable. Thank you.
Okay. Now we have item four. Any new agenda items? Do you have any concerns?
I do not.
I did bring up with Ms. Fuchs that we could have maybe some of the materials, or at least I could, as they come in, because sometimes there are many more, and I need more time to review them. And she said she would be able to do that. And I also discussed if we could meet at 8 or something a little bit later. And possibly we could. I would still want to bring that up on Fridays, because there is a 9:30 meeting for behavior analyst, but it seems like at least in recent weeks, we've been completing in half hour, maybe the most 45 minutes. So I was going to bring that up with the staff. If we met at 8, I think an hour and a half would be more than enough. Or do you need time to prepare before the 9:30 meeting?
Madam Chair, I'll field that question. And I'll also Kathy may want to modify what I'm about to say relative to your first question. So what we can do is we can provide ARC members with the folder link ahead, once it's created, essentially. And so that just means that you have that and you can refresh it periodically. Always you have free time and nothing to do, and just check and see, what's landed in the folder to review. So that's a practice that we can maintain going forward. Kathy and I can have the conversation about whether it's going to be, you know, month to month to month. Unfortunately, we won't necessarily be able to declare, you know we can move ARC from 7:30 to 8, you know, as a standing practice. We just never know, of course, you know, if ARC needs to do an interview, you know, if it's a particularly lengthy, complex agenda. If the committee is comfortable with this, you know, once the agenda is ready, and if it reflects like it does today, you know, we can put the question out whether to shift the meeting from 7:30 to 8 in that instance. So from a consistency standpoint, I'm a little uneasy about, you know, moving it permanently, because we have had occasions, we use the same Zoom link for both meetings, and that's for cost efficiency reasons. Also, because I staff both committees, albeit, you know, a very limited role for this one, it's not uncommon for me to be scrambling ahead of CBA, you know, to try to get some things taken care of. So if you'll indulge us, you know, we can sort of try and see how this works on a case by case basis. And, you know, some months it could work, and then other months it's just not practical. How does that sound?
Well, that's great for me, but I feel it may be too difficult that you're in to,
you know, we'll be judicious, you know, we'll be honest when we feel like, you know, this really isn't the circumstances and, you know, what's happening and, you know, everything we have to take into consideration if it just, you know, isn't practical. We'll let you know.
What do you think, Dr. Flint?
I agree. I can be flexible. They've got me captive Friday mornings. So whatever start time works is completely fine. And thank you for the request of the materials earlier. I think that will also help me as I'm a little bit slow at the beginning. I'll speed up, I promise.
Oh, you're doing fantastically. I liked your suggestions to that applicant. I didn't know about those opportunities. So that was great.
Well, very good. So what will happen is that when Kathy creates the folder and, you know, there's some content to add to it, she can alert you to its presence. And then, you know, you'll still get the reminder email. You'll still get the, okay, you know, it's go time to do the review. So if you don't, and you can't, you know, review ahead of time, you know, nothing will change in that respect.
No, I mean, having the weekend is most important. So we'll get it on Sunday even. It's fine.
Of course.
But I know that some of them may come in early. So I just thought that those were complete. And we'll look again the night before or the day before to be sure there's to check for any changes. You know, the reason why I mentioned later is I think the last few times it's gone like a half an hour or 45 minutes. But I do recall there were one or two times where we had to interview the applicant. You're right. Okay. Then the last point is adjournment. And I feel I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
Okay. And the vote to me would be yes. And yours?
Agreed. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll meet next month. See you then.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.